Report a shot fired at officers trying to stop the vehicle.
We have one officer shot.
We got shots fired. Sounded like an automatic firearm.
Copy, code red, shots fired.
We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the fairground.
And now it's Shots Fired with your hosts, TJ Kurgan and Dinah Death Milberg.
I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. My grandfather was a drinker back in the day. Change a man, and the whiskey's known to change a man. That's not me. I rarely drink from the bottle, but I'll smoke a little. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go, in a town of 1,200 off an old dirt road. And a country boy is all I'll ever be. Now it's been 12 years since I sold my soul to the devil in L.A. He said, sign your name.
It's a brand new week and a brand new Shots Fired. You're listening to it on 93.3 Real Talk, the voice of freedom. I probably ought to say that right. It's Real Talk 93.3, the voice of freedom. This is your host, TJ Kurgan, a.k.a. Sig Glockenkolt. I'm sitting here with my cohort, Dinah Death Milberg.
What is up?
You know, you always say that, but they can't answer you.
I know. I don't know why I do that. I did that on the podcast, too, like somebody could answer. I don't know.
Just look, whenever I do that to him, it looks like a deer in the headlights. Just kind of, what do I do?
What do with my hands?
Shoot guns. Shoot guns with your hands. I don't know. Whenever we're at the range, we're always like, hey, can we shoot guns now? And we put our fingers up, yeah. like happy fingers.
Jazz hands.
That's you know, because shooting guns makes you happy.
I did shoot a gun last night, and I am embarrassed to admit it is the first time I've picked up a handgun and fired one.
Ever?
In like a year, like this year.
Right.
I think one other time this year, and that's it. It's embarrassing, but... luckily, I still can shoot. I did hit the target.
You know, and you messaged me right after because you had just gotten your new, what is it?
Yeah, Beretta M9A4.
And now you've always been a Beretta hater.
Yeah, I hated the ones we were issued. They were giant hunks of junk.
Right, because Beretta has military contracts. Everybody carries that. Everybody knows what the Beretta looks like. If you're a fan of Christmas movies, you know that that gun can be disassembled by some sort of ninja kick.
Yeah, some
quick action of the wrist.
And flipping and yeah.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to going home later tonight and reenacting Die Hard and Lethal Weapon tonight.
Oh, I think it was Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon. I was wrong.
It was.
The gun was in Die Hard, but it wasn't disassembled in Die Hard.
No, that was Lethal Weapon. That was a Mel Gibson move.
Yes, which is absolutely an accurate move. That is possible, but 9.9 times out of 10, you will be shot in the face.
I'll let you know tonight. or not, if you don't hear anything, it didn't work.
I'll tell you what, I've known Alex for a long time, and, you know, very seldom do I see Alex, you know, the 200 and what, you know, how many pounds do you weigh? 245-pound bearded, burly man. I very, very, very rarely ever see him giddy. But last night he was giddy after
was
shooting
giddy.
That Beretta.
It
now
giddy.
It wasn't just any Beretta. It was that brand new Beretta and that FDE, that Coyote.
Yes, Coyote.
Other people call Brown, Tannen Brown.
That's lame.
Yeah, it's really, really lame to say Tannen Brown, but FDE and Coyote sounds really good.
Yes.
And it had a threaded barrel, and on that you had a suppressor, an NFA item. What was that suppressor you were running?
That one, you know, I've got a Wit, but they don't do handgun ones yet. But it's got a silencer co Omega 9K, and I've got to say, 7.2 ounces. It is about 4.5 inches long. It is stupid quiet.
That's what she said.
I know. I was waiting for that. And Griffin Armament's got this new cam lock system, so instead of sitting there and threading it on, which makes me nervous because I have watched too many people thread their can on and then launch it downrange. They've got a cam lock system. You basically drop it on, quarter turn, that's it. It's locked on and ready to go. And
why do I see a condom joke? And that's what she said when it talks about twisting on the can and launching it downrange.
Those all would, yeah, work.
Is this the Howard Stern show? Am I going too far for a Saturday morning?
It's going to be that one day. I mean, it's like an early afternoon. We're fine.
A conservative Howard Stern show.
That's actually brilliant.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
We should do that.
So this guy is so excited after shooting this gun. He sends me pictures of it. He sends me a video of him with his big smile on his face. And it is true that shooting a gun releases the same chemicals in your brain as a passionate kiss, which of course is what are those chemicals called? Those
endorphins.
Yeah. Endorphins. It's actually the same chemical that's released by cocaine, I believe.
Yeah. Same thing.
And
can you imagine if you did all three at once?
Oh wow. Yeah, that'd be too much. Don't do drugs, kids.
No.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah. Don't.
And that comes from a former drug cop. Don't do drugs. So,
but he was, you did.
Yeah. He was so happy shooting this gun. And then today he brings it over to the house, you know,
like show and tell.
And had a show and tell with me in the kitchen. But that's what shooting guns is. It's not always just about self-defense. It's not always about whose gun's bigger. You know, it's not always about toxic masculinity, because I know women that really enjoy just shooting guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, there's all kinds of enjoyment you can get out of taking your kids or your wife out in a farm field here in Missouri and shooting, you know, soda cans and watermelons. Oh,
especially this time of year.
Pumpkins. In a couple weeks, pumpkins are going to be the big target. You know?
Oh, yeah. 12 gauge to a pumpkin. Yeah, that's satisfying. That's satisfying.
You know, but everybody on the left, all they see is that evil device that
designed to kill small children at a rapid rate,
efficiently. And what we need to do as gun owners is we need to, you know, spend more time, you know, telling these liberals, these libtards, basically not just telling them, take them to the range. If you have a liberal friend, take them to the range, let them shoot your gun.
Yeah,
it'll change their life.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who, you know, shoots a gun and doesn't have a big grin on their face after.
Yeah. Other than that one reporter, Google AR-15 reporter.
Forgot about
it. You know, our YouTube, that it's pretty funny. You know, like squeals like a girl when he shoots the gun.
Starts crying.
It's so violent. Anyway, so that's our public service message this week: is go shoot a gun
and buy one
someplace legal. You know, like a shooting range, like Ultimate Defense in St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Eagle Eye in Wentzville, or there's some other ranges in St. Louis, but not that one. Which what ranges would you go to if you lived in St. Louis County? Ultimate Defense in St. Peter's or Eagle Eye in Wentzville?
Yeah, or like Market and 12th Street.
I don't think there's a range there.
I mean, anything's a range if you're brave enough. No, Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Yeah, there's Bullseye over in Cell City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going blank on the one with the barbecue.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. But
I'm going blank. Yeah, look up Gun Range Barbecue St. Louis. It will come up.
If you're listening to this on the app or you're listening to it on social media, why don't you comment what your favorite range is in whatever town you're listening from? And that way we can know, you know, for our own edification. I'll tell you what my favorite outdoor range is, because shooting a gun outside is always more fun.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Especially this time of year, this is the season, you know, for shooting guns. For those of you who don't like to sweat, and you enjoy the fall weather and shooting guns and maybe getting ready for hunting season and stuff like that. You know, outdoor ranges, though, are hard to find in this part of the country, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That aren't manned by Nazis. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the real problem is you can't find a good long range outdoor shooting range.
Yeah.
Actual shooting range. Within an hour of St. Louis.
Sadly, no.
You know, you can on the Metro East side. Well, it's probably about an hour. And that would be World Outdoor Shooting Complex.
Yeah. Right? I know. Well, rifle WSRC. Still can go that far.
Right. Yeah, I think you can push out. They had a couple hundred yard range there once.
Used to be 400.
But the pheasant hunters were getting shrapnel, so they had to stop.
Toughen up.
So that's a couple hundred yards out there at WSRC. In Illinois, and for anybody in the St. Louis market going to Columbia, Illinois, or it's in Sparta,
Yes.
You know, that's at least an hour drive, right? 45, 50 minutes.
Yep.
The other direction, you go out west on 70, you've got, what is that one in Wright City?
Yield Benchrest.
Benchrest. Benchrest is an awesome members only club.
It is.
They've actually got the ability to shoot out to 1,000. Only problem with Benchrest is because it's a members only club and they have insurance things to worry about, that you have to go through a bunch of, first of all, just to become a member, you have to be sponsored.
Yes.
Which, and they have to have openings available. I don't even know if they're accepting anybody.
And I could be wrong. I thought it was like only certain times of the year they open up for.
Yeah, they'll open up some allocations for membership, and then you have to be sponsored by an existing member. And then once you've been sponsored, then you have to go to an all-day safety course, which I'm told is one of the most miserable days of your life because you're not shooting guns. You're just talking about how to do it safely, which is very important. It is very important. But evidently, that particular training level, that one day of training to become a member there is kind of your, you're paying your dues because it's not very fun. But there's more. You know, to shoot steel, you have to become a range officer.
Yep.
To shoot past 250 yards, I believe you have to take their all-day precision rifle safety course.
Then there's another one if you want to shoot past 600 and go out to the 1,000-yard range, you have to take it.
Okay, so 250 to 600, 600 to 1,000.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is for insurance and because some people are just idiots, don't understand how optics work and holdover and that, you know, they'll fire an unzeroed rifle at 1,000 yards and have a round go over the berm and into the roof of a house a mile and a half away.
Yeah. Somebody
which actually happened
because you drop money on Barrett and a high end optic doesn't mean you know how to shoot.
Yeah. Let's mount this optic to this 50 cal and send one to 1,000. See if we hit it.
No, that was the 600. They missed 600 yards with a Barrett 50. They missed the berm. For those listening who don't know the size of the berm, it is 2 football fields wide and 30 feet tall.
So the point I'm getting at.
And they missed it.
Yeah. So you got to go through a bunch of training out there. Outside of that, you know, there really isn't anything else in the area other than Gadsden. Gadsden is
Gadsden's
another members only range. It's not quite as strict, but it's a 2.5 hour drive to Lake of the Ozarks. Essentially, it's 30 minutes south of the lake. That's where we like to shoot. It's kind of our private place.
But
there is no places that you could just go. You know, there's a range in Troy, right? Or south of Troy. What's that one called where you got to drive through the creek?
Oh, I don't even know the name. It's right there, like right in Silex. But, I mean, you risk getting shot at by some woods FUD while you're there or tweakers.
Tweakers?
Or for a while, actually, on Sunday mornings, Antifa was actually coming out there to do their weekend training events. Yeah.
Wait, Antifa trains?
In Lincoln County. Someone really put a lot of thought into that one. It's a nice range. The range itself isn't bad. It's about 75-yard range. The downfall of it is it's unmanned, and you get people who maybe don't quite have as much of an emphasis on firearm safety as you do.
And you mean like the guy that starts shooting while you're downrange, pasting your target up?
Yeah, that guy. Well, I'm in the one next to you. That doesn't matter.
Please. I believe that Troy is called Logan, isn't it? Is that Logan?
Yes. No, you're right. It is Logan.
So that's the Logan conservation area. That's actually where I used to go shoot all the time.
Yeah.
Before I became Sig Glock and Colt.
I think most of our first videos are actually out there.
Yeah. And you know, and I believe somebody that used to be an employee of ours, he was actually downrange when some guy started shooting, and so he wanted to get his combat action medal
or ribbon. No,
combat action ribbon.
Yeah.
Right, cuz he was on a two-way
range. It was a firefight.
And then there's one in Warrenton, right? Or south of Wright City?
Raniker or something like that?
No. I think you almost have it, but I'm pretty sure it's more German than that.
Yeah.
Reifschneider.
Yeah.
Reifschneider. You got to spit. You have to spit.
Reifschneider.
There you go. Perfect. So Reifschneider is awesome too. I mean, but again, to get to Logan or to get to Reifschneider, you have to have, well, you should have an all-wheel drive, off-road capable vehicle.
I mean, my good old 01 Corolla made it, but it was sketchy.
Yeah, but that wasn't when the creek was running 3 feet deep, though.
Oh, no, it was.
I've been over there.
I just sent it.
I've been over there times that having a monster truck actually was the only reason I got home.
Yeah.
But no, again, very,
it gets sketchy.
Those are great places to take the kids. You have to, you know, you're not supposed to bring your own targets, the rain. You know,
wear
the,
a plate carrier.
Yeah. And, but definitely wear a plate carrier because you might get shot by one of the other not so safe people that are there. You know what? If you see something, though, say something.
Yes.
If you're at a range, we've only got 50 seconds, but if you're at a range, whether it's outside or inside, and you see somebody doing something unsafe,
yell at them.
Say something.
Yeah.
Embarrass the living daylights out of them. Tell, you know, make them stop doing whatever it is. You know, say, stop.
Everybody's, you know, a range.
Everybody's, you know, because everybody's responsible for the safety of those around them. And you might just save somebody's life by saying something.
Yeah.
Now, you might also get into a fight with some rednecks out in the woods.
It happens.
But you know what? It's better than getting shot on accident. At least you got shot on purpose.
Yeah. Those warning moments.
Yeah. But, you want to get in a, you want to learn how to get it, be in a firefight. The best way to do it, be in a firefight. We'll be right back after this. We should probably put a disclaimer on.
Yeah.
You know,
actually,
we were joking about starting the firefight at the range. Don't do that. Try to avoid that at all costs. Remember what we said. But, you know, the best way to avoid a fight is to not be in one.
Yeah. Right?
So we're just being facetious. Sometimes we get carried away with our humor. And we don't want you guys to think that we're being serious. But we were being serious when we said, if you see something, say something.
No, absolutely.
Try to be tactful about it. But at the same time, be forceful. You know, if somebody's being unsafe, if they're flagging their own child with their pistol,
yep,
or if they're walking down range while other people are hot, you know, and hands are on guns, things like that, you know, actually, we could probably do that right now. What are the best range safety rules that that everybody needs to know? It's range season.
Yeah.
Obviously, at an indoor range, let's talk about indoor range, and then let's talk about outdoor range.
Yeah.
So what are the best firearm safety things for somebody going to an indoor range?
Indoor and outdoor, same applies. There is no such thing as an unloaded firearm. And anybody who tries to argue such, punch yourself in the face. Treat every weapon as if it were loaded at all times. Even if it's unloaded and, hey, no, I verify. That, you know, you said it best the way you taught your kids. That firearm has an invisible laser beam of death that comes out of it. And anything that laser beam is pointed at, it cuts in half. You know, you'll see a lot of people who are great with firearm safety, but the second they know that firearm's unloaded, they will wave it every which way, especially with handguns where it's real easy to do. So treat every single weapon as if it were loaded at all times. Keep that muzzle pointed in a safe direction
at all times.
Yeah.
And that safe direction, you know, can be at the ground, but only if it's at the ground in front of you,
yeah,
at an angle, not at the ground straight down.
If you're in an apartment complex, down is not a safe area.
Right, because there might be people underneath you.
Yeah, if you're in the bottom level, up isn't in a safe direction. Now, sometimes there is nowhere to point, and it's the least destructive path.
What's the number two rule? Okay, so you're keeping the gun pointed in a safe direction, which at a range,
yeah,
is downrange.
Yep.
The only safe direction at an indoor shooting range
downrange
is straight ahead.
Not next to you, not even at different angles, because a lot of times you can hit the walls and catch deflection, right, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, hitting the wall probably isn't the biggest safety problem, but you're damaging the wall of the range,
yeah,
and that tends to piss them off a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. But keeping the gun pointed downrange at all times. Loaded, unloaded, in your hand or not in your hand, it's, yep, pointed downrange. The second rule is keep that finger
straight and off the trigger
until you're ready to fire.
Yep.
Which means the only time you're ready to fire, the gun is parallel to the ground and it's pointed at the target.
Yes.
You have a clear sight picture and you've decided to engage that target. That and only then is the time that your finger goes on the trigger.
Yes.
Once you've fired the gun, if you're not preparing to fire a second or third time,
comes right off.
The finger comes off the trigger before the gun is moved off the target.
Another important one, and I've heard it, never point your weapon at anything you don't intend to shoot. I don't like that one because that doesn't drive it home hard enough. Never point your weapon at anything you do not intend to kill or destroy.
Right.
That emphasizes it a little bit more.
Yeah. don't point your weapon at your toes. I kind of like to keep my toes.
Yeah, and but, I mean, again, there's rifles. It's a little bit easier to be safer with because you're lugging around and swinging a big rifle. Mm-hmm. Handguns is where you most commonly see most safety infractions or people doing something dumb.
You guys think right now, oh my God, these guys are droning on about safety, but we see this stuff all the time.
No, you'd be amazed. You cannot have been around guns for years.
Every single gun shop in Missouri, including ours, including Tactical SH, can I get a Vial T in St. Peter's? Every single one of them have had customers and or employees have negligent discharges. Okay.
At 100%.
You might have heard the term accidental discharge. There's no such thing as an accidental discharge. Every time the gun goes off and you didn't want it to, that's a negligent discharge. You were being negligent. You put your finger on the trigger when you shouldn't have.
Yep.
And hopefully you were following rule number one, which is keeping the gun pointed in a safe direction. We have all these rules because one helps out the other. If you don't do one, but you're not doing the other, or wait, if you do one, but you're not doing the other, you're still not killing anyone.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you always keep the gun. So most ranges have a rule, like indoor ranges, you're not supposed to, you know, have a loaded gun except when you're in the bay.
Yes.
Right? That's considered.
And you never step out of the bay with a loaded or, as you were about to say, I'm sure, hot weapon.
Yeah, hot weapon, meaning there's a magazine in it.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't mean chambered. That means a magazine in it.
That's still considered a hot weapon.
That's considered a hot weapon. So you only load your weapon, chamber your round when you're ready to fire. If you're stepping out of the booth, you drop the magazine. And you unchamber the round.
Yep.
And you then verify. What I like to do to make sure that my gun is unloaded and I know it's unloaded is I like to engage all my senses.
Yeah.
Right? I did it with your Beretta earlier.
Yep.
You know, I drop the magazine out because if you don't drop the mag out, you're either going to load another round or your slide's going to lock to the rear if we're talking about a handgun.
Yep.
Right? What I like to do, and this could be with a rifle either, AR-15, whatever. Drop the mag out, okay, whether it's loaded or not, and then work the action of the gun fully, three times fast, so it sounds like chicka, 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 right? And if there was a bullet in there, it would have been pulled out by the extractor and thrown out of the gun in doing it three times fast. Once, maybe not. Maybe the extractor missed
I've seen it happen.
You know?
I've seen it
but
skip
three
right
times,
over.
Every single time I safe a weapon, I do that. It's part of my religious, you know, that's my order. Arms?
If you look, you saw me smile because anytime someone does that, it makes me happy inside.
Yeah, it's because I have had a negligent discharge. I've had several of them when I was in the police academy. One time I shot a hole in my dad's bedroom wall on a Christmas morning. We'll tell that story another time. But I'm an expert, but yet I've had errors. Fortunately, both of those errors ended up not hurting anybody. The one error only blew a hole in the ground about 2 feet in front of my toes with double-aught buck. And the other error only put a hole in the baseboard that bullet left the house and did not kill a squirrel in the backyard.
So you did some redecorating.
Yeah, and the only reason that those things happened is because I was pointed in a safe direction when I made the mistake of pulling the trigger. Okay.
Redundancy saves lives.
So we're back to range safety. We're almost done here with time for this, but I think it's important. It's fall. It's range. It's range safe season.
Who maybe haven't taken their rifle out since last deer season.
Right.
You get that a lot where people don't always shoot.
So you know what? You keep the weapon pointed in a safe direction.
Yeah.
You only keep it hot when you're on the firing line. Now, in an indoor range, nobody ever walks down range. Do they?
They do, but I mean, everyone has to step back like
five. Yeah, the range officer is going to call the range cold, which means that you have to put, before anybody walks down range, you have to hands off the guns. The guns should be unloaded, put on the table, and your hands should be almost like hands up, no shoot, and step away from the gun and out of the box before anybody can walk down.
And we always did it with have two people, one make sure everything's unloaded, and then no one steps up. And then the other goes downrange and changes target.
Yep. Usually they yell, man downrange.
Yeah.
Right now we're going to commercial break. We'll be right back. Man downrange. What does that mean?
Someone is downrange.
Someone's intending to go downrange for sure. And that's when hands come off guns. Guns are unloaded, hands come off guns. If somebody's automatically downrange and you see them and someone yells that, immediately the gun's put down in a safe direction, not pointing in the general direction of that person downrange. Yes. Right? What are some other range safety things? We talked about indoor ranges.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's talk about outdoor ranges. Obviously, we're talking about man down range. You know, that hands come off the gun. Everybody steps back. It's time to sip your coffee. It's time to tell lies to your buddies.
Yep.
Or go down and check your own targets, reset your own targets. When you're at a range without a safety officer, it's good for the most knowledgeable shooter there to become the range safety officer.
Yes. And that's the great thing about when we go shoot is I think almost all of us at work are RSO certified through the NRA. Most everybody is an instructor. So, I mean, it's like jumping onto a actual RAN range, mm-hmm. like certified range, because everybody jumps in and knows the process and what to do. One of my ones that I love to talk about and discuss, because this doesn't just apply to safety and going to the range, indoor or outdoor, but also for home defense, self-defense, any short sort of active shooter scenario that often gets overlooked, and that is know your target and consider its background.
Yeah, and what's beyond it.
That applies to so many things and definitely can be used home defense, a self-defense situation, an active shooter, an indoor range, or an outdoor range, and while being safe with a firearm.
Yeah, even in competition, they put that on you. So you might have a target that you need to engage, but they'll put a no-shoot target somewhere in the background of that target. So if you don't, you know, observe the background and you don't take a firing angle that will avoid the shoot through hitting the no shoot, then you end up getting penalized, you know, like 15 seconds, depending on the modality of the match that you're, you know, shooting IDPA, USPSA, IPSC, whatever.
A real experience I had real quick. I was rolling home one night on my first deployment back in 2006 near the Syrian border. We were driving back in, started to take sniper fire. I was an M2 50 cal gunner. I swiveled over to
the
try to find
bullets.
Oh, I love that thing. Swivel over to try to locate, close with, and destroy by superior firepower. And realized that the direction the sniper fire was coming from was, if I had engaged in that direction, beyond that target was actually our own forward operating base. And therefore, I just had to drop down and really nothing I could do, because if I had engaged that target, I could have risked shooting my own guys. But because I knew my target and beyond it.
And in your case, beyond it was like a mile away.
Yeah. I mean, when you're on something like that, anything within 3 miles needs to be considered. I was able to realize that had I engaged that, that could have caused more harm than good. He was close. He was hitting my armor, but it wasn't that bad. So I just dropped down and wrote it out. And I mean, it's thinking like that you need to do. If you're in an active shooter situation, a home defense situation, I could engage this guy, but oh God, my child's bedroom where he's asleep is right beyond it. Know these things. Think about these things even when you're not shooting. Plan your house out accordingly and lay out to know where you're going to go based on that.
Yeah, I mean, you have shooting lanes in your home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There, you have no shoots, I mean, you have shooting lanes.
This is I had a range card, but apparently that was a little over the top.
Oh, man, he's got a range card, you know, hallway, 11 meters, hold, none.
Oh, I even know where my dead space is on my house, man. That hallway is ideal for grazing fire, I'll tell you that. Get some enfilade grazing fire going on, I'm golden.
So when you go to these... You know, when you go to a range like, well, there's another one down there, Bush Wildlife. They have a really nice range, right? With the old, the ROs are on the megaphone and you got to have 1 second between each shot. You know, any kind of big bang gets
you. 0.8 seconds between rounds.
Anytime your split time is below 1 second, you know, they're going to call and call you out and that sort of thing. But they do that because there are idiots shooting there and they want to make sure that the idiots aren't doing dumb things. They don't care what your experience level is there. Whenever you're at a range, you are subject to the rules of morons because morons exist.
Yep.
And sometimes you can be a moron. So don't think you're above that.
No, it happens.
Absolutely. You know, if you're not at a managed range with a range officer like Bench Rest or like Bush Wildlife or, you know, WSRC or one of these things where they have somebody there to keep you safe, you are responsible for that yourself. And so when you're at these, you know, like Reef Schneider is in a quarry.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're literally shooting in a giant bowl of rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And bullets bounce off of rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I checked, you know, so knowing ballistics and knowing safety of your targets is important. So, for example, if you have a steel target because you bought one from Tactical SH, can I get a vowel T in St. Peter's? You know, we have the FAST system, you know, where it's an IPSC steel target, and you put it on a 2x4 cut to whatever height you want. It goes in a stand, and it's like $100 and something, ships free, whatever. And you take it out there and you set it up. Now, you're not supposed to bring steel to these ranges, so you will get in trouble for doing that if you're at one of these public ranges by not a range officer, but the parks. What do they call the park police? The park popo?
Park police, I think. I'm going completely.
Conservation police?
Yeah, conservation. Yeah.
Missouri conservation agents. They don't mess around.
No.
So you're not supposed to bring a steel target. But let's say you're at your farm, your family farm, and you bring a steel target out, and you want to make your Instagram videos of engaging steel. Engaging steel is probably one of the most fun things there is in shooting sports.
Hands down.
Because you get an immediate... it's psychological. You get an immediate gratification, a reward, the sound, ding, bang, ding, I hit it. You immediately know you hit it. You don't have to see the hole, you should be looking for your hit. You should know where you hit it if you shoot enough. That immediate sound of hit or no sound, meaning miss, it becomes very addictive.
Yes.
You know, my wife used to hate shooting, right? Hated it. Until we give her a 9mm AR-15 with a red dot on it. What she calls a red eye.
A red eye.
And she engaged steel. And we had an array of steel set up, you know, and she went ding, 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 ding. And we went to reach to grab the rifle from her, and she sweeps back the other direction. Ding, 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 ding. And from that moment on, she loves shooting steel with the red eye.
It's impossible not to. I don't know what it is, but just, man. It is definitely
if you have farmland, if you have some place to shoot, I highly recommend buying some AR-500 steel targets.
Yes.
That is not the company, by the way. That's just the name. That's just the steel that has to be used to not get holes in it when you shoot it with a standard 55 grain 5.56 or 223. But when you're shooting steel and you bring it out to your farm, and I've made this mistake when I was a young Padawan. You need to make sure that you're not engaging that steel within, I'd say, 50 yards. What do you say?
Generally within 15 to 25 yards for handgun. Definitely within 50 for a rifle. And, I mean, if you have frangible ammo, now I have engaged using frangible ammo.
Frangible ammo, you can engage an inch away.
Yeah, I mean,
it's scary.
Mentally, I felt like I was doing something very horrible.
Yeah.
But it was fine. But past that, I would say minimum. I've heard people say, oh, 25 yards is fine. You can do it. I would not. I would at least 50 yards with rifle, at least 15 with a handgun.
You want to hear something really scary? One time, and again, these things sound common sense, but they're not. This is long after I was a police officer, but long before I was Sig Glock and Colt, you know, in the industry. My dad had a buddy that he was at a farm, and he had steel targets. Basically just giant steel plates hanging from chains on a telephone pole, cross member.
Yeah.
Right. And so what was I doing to be fancy, dude? I was down there point blank standing at basically within 3 feet. Right. Because I could reach out and touch that steel. I remember it's hanging from a chain.
Ooh, ooh.
And I would strike the steel with my palm, pull the gun from the appendix, fire two shots into the steel as it swings away from me, which of course meant the steel was angled into the ground. Okay. I did it over and over again. And my dad's like, yeah, that doesn't look very safe. I'm like, oh no, it's angling down. But I mean, I look back on that horrified as an adult. I'm like, Jesus Christ, if that would have swung just towards me one time, I could have put a round right back through my face. Been done. Absolutely done.
Be a bad day.
So 15 to 25 yards on steel from a handgun, 50 yards off steel from an AR-15 or any kind of rifle. Right.
Yeah, especially if you're talking bigger than an AR.
Yeah, you're 308, I'd even go 75 to 100 yards on steel.
There's no reason to be close.
Yeah. I mean, steel typically, and the other thing with steel too, you need to know your rounds, right?
Yeah.
Frangible ammo is expensive, but it's absolutely safe to shoot at steel. And it's also great for home defense because it's not going to go through the wall and kill little Timmy in his crib. But it is going to screw up the bad guy really, really bad.
Oh, yeah.
But on steel, if you don't want to afford frangible and you're just buying regular, you know, full metal jackets, you need to know that they hit that steel and they bounce off.
Yes.
They splatter. So brass goes up, down, side to side. If it's angled at the ground, most of it goes down. And angled at the ground steel target is the best way to go.
Yes.
But if it's straight on, you're going to get splashed to the right, splashed to the left, splashed straight up. And we've seen bullets come straight back at you.
Yeah, but I mean, they do weird stuff.
I have been hit so many times at shooting matches by rounds that are basically, you know, that if you watch it on a slow-mo camera, it turned itself inside out and came right back at you.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't hurt. You basically go, ow, what was that?
Well, I mean, it can cut you because they're jagged as heck. And if you get hit in the jugular, yeah, you're going to have a bad day.
Ryan, the last match he was at, one of the big nationals, took a 45 slug to the shin and kept the 45 slug.
Yep. I've been hit with 45s, 40s, 5.56 frag. It's all kinds of itty bitty scars all over my body from it. But so those are your general rules with steel. And then shooting at the steel, make sure you never shoot steel with steel core ammunition.
Yes. You'll tear up your steel.
So steel core ammunition will go right through AR 500 steel. And put holes in your steel. And if you spent good money on it, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's typically your M855 or your SS109 5.56. Typically 62 grains. They typically have a green tip, but not always. The M855 will be green tipped. The SS109 is just the European version of that. It does not have a green tip because evidently our army, you know, they're not as smart as the European army. So we have to paint them green so they know. But also, most AK-47 ammo, most of your steel AK ammo is not range safe. You cannot shoot it at an indoor range, or you can't shoot it at steel. And both those rules hold true. You know, if you take green tips to Ultimate Defense, they're going to make you go home.
Yes.
Because it's going to put holes in the steel trap that cost them, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to put back there.
Yeah, and it tears that stuff up. It can take it. That backstop's rated for 50 BMG. But they really don't want you to tear their equipment up.
Right.
And also, it does a number on the target hangers. Yeah. You get one of those zip through it will tear those up. They have a stack of those back there that they have
to. So let's go back to the pumpkin thing. You're shooting pumpkins in the Reef Schneider, and there's a bunch of rock, and we're talking about knowing what's beyond your target. We're not shooting steel here.
No,
we're shooting a pumpkin. But there's a giant pile of rocks behind the pumpkin.
Yep.
How far should we stand away from those pile of rocks with an AR-15 in order to shoot the pumpkin?
At least 50 to 75 yards.
Correct. I mean,
if you're engaging an AR closer than that and you're not doing some sort of CQB drill, there's no reason to. You don't need to be 70 yards away or 50 yards away from a pumpkin to hit it with an AR.
All right. So I think we've beaten it to death. It is range safety season.
It is.
Yeah. Whether you're on your farm, whether you're on an outdoor range, whether you're at an indoor range, or whether you're just shooting down at Union and Grand, you need to practice good gun safety and make sure those around you are practicing good firearms safety. And if you see something, say something. We're going to be back right after this, and we're going to talk the rest of the show about basically vehicle safety, you know, like being in your car and car jack and things like that. Did you hear the other day there was a carjacking in St. Louis?
Yeah, it was an 11-year-old pistol whipped a woman and then carjacked her at gunpoint.
Was that at Union and Grand?
Cannot confirm nor deny.
I'm pretty sure those streets don't even intersect.
You never know.
Yeah.
All streets intersect if you're brave enough.
And I bet a bunch of you when I said, did you hear there was a carjacking in St. Louis? Everybody's like, when is there not a carjacking in St. Louis?
Duh.
So we've only got 9 minutes of this show left. We need to get a bigger show.
We need
we're going to need a bigger show.
You'll get that with them bigger
let's
jobs.
Let's start talking about it this week, and let's finish talking about it next week. And that is basically carrying a gun in your car.
Yeah.
And why do we do that, right? So safety. We want to be safe in our vehicle. Yep. Our vehicle is considered part of the Castle Law Doctrine. So we can
private property.
We can use lethal force to protect ourselves and the other occupants of our car from someone trying to come into that vehicle and putting us in fear of bodily harm or death.
Yes.
Correct? So, and it happens all the time. An 11-year-old, I don't know if it was at an intersection, stop sign, whatever, carjacks a woman and pistol whips her.
Yeah.
You know, in St. Louis. So what do you do? How do you carry your gun in your car?
Let's, I mean, in that case, throw some candy in the street and leave.
Not sure that would work. And you know, that's actually probably the most scary situation, to get carjacked by an 11-year-old, because you got a lot more to think about.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not going to shoot him.
Are you prepared to shoot a child? I mean, that's a big one with a lot of people, right? You can have a gun all you want, but are you going to be able to do it? And holy cow, this kid will probably kill me, no problem. Like, he's 11, if he's got a gun, he's pointed at you, he gives no Fs.
None whatsoever.
No. And so you are really, really, really in a dangerous situation. It's like a baby snake. They got more poison in them.
Yeah, like an adult can think logically and think things through. Like, I'm just trying to scare him. I don't actually want to. 11-year-old doesn't care. They just did it 5 minutes ago on Call of Duty.
Yeah, you're getting smoked. So let's back up away from the carjack for a second and just talk about carrying a gun in the car.
Yeah,
there are several ways to carry a firearm in the car. Now, let's begin with, it is legal in Missouri to carry a firearm in your car, whether or not you have a permit.
Yep.
Loaded on or about your person and or in your wingspan.
Yeah.
So it used to be not, right? Years ago, before I think 2011 or whatever, you know, it used to not be legal to have a loaded gun within your wingspan, meaning you can reach it in the glove box, in the center console, kind of like Illinois. If you travel in Illinois, I can't tell you how many times I've unloaded my handgun on the bridge going into Illinois. You know, how is safe that is
why
that?
I always see people pulled over on the bridge. I never even thought about that.
So, you know, I'm driving across the bridge, driving with my knee, dropping my magazine, sliding that rack three times, getting that bullet in my hand, you know, and then, you know, making sure it's clear. And then I'm putting the gun in the glove box. I'm putting the magazine in the center console. Yep. I'm locking the center console with the spare key, yada, 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 in order not to go to pound town in Illinois. Right?
All the meanwhile while telling yourself.
But it used to be the same way in Missouri, but it's not anymore. You can carry a gun loaded on your person or in your glove box or in your center console or stuck between the seats or under the front seat or in a holster mounted to the dashboard, you know, whatever you want to do. It's completely up to you. Do you have to tell a cop when he pulls you over that you have a firearm?
No.
No. If I'm a police officer and I ask you if you have a firearm, are you going to lie to me, Alex?
I'm not, because I would stay alive.
I do it all the time. No, yeah. I don't have a firearm. You know, unless I have it on in my waistband or something. I'm not going to lie to them at that point. You know, or if they ask me to get out of the car, yes, sir, I have a gun on me and I have, you know, I'm trained and I have a permit for it, or I don't need a permit, whatever. But you know what? I have, you talk about unsafe situations. I have had some of the most unsafe situations when police officers, specifically Missouri State Highway Patrol officers, one of which is a female, and I hope she's listening because I can't stand you.
I know who you're talking about.
You know, she decides, when I tell her I have a firearm, you know, and I have every legal right to have it in my car, she gets me out of the car. Then she has to go into my car in the glove box, pulls out my gun, and on the side of the road tries to make my gun safe. Takes out the magazine, tries to get the bullets out, has no idea what she's doing.
Nope.
Almost shoots herself in the leg. Now, how's that going to look, right? When the other cops get there, she's laying there bleeding.
Yeah.
My gun's on the ground. I'm like, please don't touch my firearm.
I swear, it wasn't me. She did it.
It just adds undue stress and, you know, whatever. If you obviously, it's not against the law to just be like, yeah, no, I don't have one.
No.
But if you want to, you can say, yes, I do. It's in the glove box, whatever. I mean, typically,
I do, because I'm going to be honest. I look a bit more suspect than you.
Yeah.
And scummy. And I get profiled.
Are you saying that police officers profile?
Yeah. No, I get profiled on a pretty regular basis. I have had an officer tell me this before.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I haven't been pulled over since I bought a Mercedes.
That's what I need to do. Or no, they just look at me like I stole it. Actually, so never mind. But I usually do. Even though I regret it, because one of the last times it happened and they wanted to take the firearm during the stop, he flagged me no less than three times with my own gun.
Yeah, I don't want the extra delay. I don't want the extra nervousness on the police officer.
No.
I'm no threat to you.
No.
You know, you're not searching my car for any reason, even though I have nothing in it.
Nope.
I'm never going to give you that permission. You're going to need to arrest me for whatever the traffic charge is. You're going to need to inventory the car, and then you're going to need to prove in court that that was an arrestable offense. I'm not in any way going to allow you to take time out of my day to search my car for any reason, even though I'm a law-abiding ex-cop citizen. Now, I might be jaded because I'm an ex-cop, and I used to get in people's cars all the time, and I'd always find their gun, and I'd always take them to jail. You know? Actually, back then, we just yell, gun, shoot them 3 times. Oh, I'm sorry. You yell gun 3 times and shoot them once.
Yeah.
But that was in the 2000s. You know, that was legal back then. So anyway, so let's talk about carrying that gun. Carrying a gun in your car is smart because you know, it's your protective area. You need to be able to protect yourself. A lot of women carry their guns in the car because it's not in their purse. It's not adding weight. It's not making them have to wear bulky clothing.
Yep.
But the car is the number one place for that gun to be stolen.
Absolutely.
So the way you carry the gun in the car is the way, you know, however you want to do it. But I highly recommend if you're planning on using the gun in a life and death situation while you're in the vehicle, in other words, to defend yourself against a carjacking, chances of winning that gunfight are slim, especially if there's more than one jacker and they have more than one gun.
Yeah.
But if you're planning on using that gun to defend yourself because you are situationally aware and you see the jackers coming and you have time to put it in your lap, you need to keep that gun close to you in that center console, on your body or in that glove box. I don't like the glove box. You have to reach across the car to get it.
Yeah, it's really obvious.
And then you're in a really awkward position to engage your target. So I got to do some live ads really quick. I've run completely out of time. You know what I like more than guns?
What's that?
Well, and women. Cars.
I should have known.
I like everything about cars. Yes. I like classic cars. I like muscle cars. I like exotic cars. I like super cars. I like motorcycles. You seem to like motorcycles more than me.
Yes.
I like off-road vehicles, RVs. And you know what? All of those things are going to be available to me at a huge auction here in St. Louis coming up on November 6th. Legacy Auto Auction. My buddy Rocky Hoy.
Yeah.
He's a third-generation Hoy family in the auto auction industry. He recently started this Legacy Auto Auction, and every Wednesday they do auto auctions for car dealers. They're moving wholesale cars, which are really hard to get right now because of all the supply chain shortages. But on November 6th, they're opening to the public for the Legacy Specialty Auto Auction. They're going to have exotics, muscle cars, RVs, motorcycles, off-road vehicles, trailers, you name it, all kinds of stuff. And you can go there like your own, like you're in your own Mecum auction, essentially. And I will be there. Meet me there November 6th. And I'm going to bring a bunch of money, and my wife's going to kill me for buying something. So bring money. See me there November 6th. Also, if you want to look better naked, your physical health, your well-being, the way you feel about yourself is just as important as what gun you carry, what ammo you use, and all that stuff. Because if you can't survive the fight because you're out of shape, you're useless. Right. Yeah. And all the carrying of the guns and the knives and stuff doesn't mean anything.
You are the weapon. The gun is the tool.
Precision Fitness in Creve Coeur, Jamie and Jen Spicer. They will make you beautiful. They will make you in shape. They will make you look better naked. And most importantly, they'll make you feel younger, look younger, and be more in shape, athletic, recover faster. You know, ask them about testosterone therapy. Ask them about peptides if you're ready for life-changing things.
Yep. I'll be up there next week.
Oh, yeah? Yep. Are you getting ready to do the all that stuff?
You sold me on it. I did labs on Monday, and I'll hopefully be up there this week getting a consultation done.
Yeah. And then they also do all the beautifying stuff, the lip injections, the filler, the Botox, Brotox. If you're a dude, don't be scared to get rid of them wrinkles. Check them out. That is Precision Fitness in Creve Coeur.